nationwide. We bring you latest current issues, discussions, and information. Nationwide on Radio Miraya.
Hello, good evening to you listening to Nationwide. My name is Sunny Martin. We are coming to you live from Juba this evening. Today, we will be looking at the lack of government delegation delays the Tumaini Peace Initiative in Nairobi, Kenya. The Tumaini Peace negotiation in Nairobi have been delayed due to the absence of the government delegation, as the mediator have informed the participants this morning that talks can't proceed without their presence. This is a setback because last week on Wednesday, the president of the Republic of South Sudan, Salva Kiir Mayardit, issued a decree removing Ambassador Albino Mato Mayuel from his role as the special envoy and also the head of the government delegation. The peace talks, which were scheduled to resume today, has been anticipated to continue as per the mediator's communication on Friday last week. And on Saturday, here on the roundtable discussion, we hosted the chairperson of the opposition holdout group, Honorable Pagana Mum, Bishop Enoch Tombe, and civil society activist Edmond Yakani, and they gave their perspective of the Tumaini. And this evening, I'm joined by Honorable Dr. Lama Kola Jawin, who is the leader of the National Democratic Movement, the NDM, and also a member of the High Level Implementation Committee in the implementation of the RCS signed in 2018. And we are going to be discussing more about it. Good evening, Honorable, and thank you so much for honoring our invitation. During your busy schedule, you have honored our invitation to come and be with us this evening.
Well, good evening. Thank you very much for inviting me to share with you some of the issues connected with the peace agreement.
Okay. First of all, let's begin right away. As a member of the High Level Implementation Committee, what do you know about the government delegation traveling to Nairobi to join the holdout group for this negotiation, as they were given a deadline of 2 weeks when President William Ruto came here last week?
Well, I hope people don't make a lot of sensation about the fact that the government delegation did not turn up in Nairobi today. It is understandable reason, because you remember as you mentioned also, the chief negotiator of the government was relieved on Wednesday. So it takes time to make the necessary consultation so that you can choose a new. So I think that is the only thing that everybody knows. Secondly, the 2 weeks were not given by the president of Kenya. The 2 weeks were agreed by both presidents. They are the ones who agreed that the talks can resume and be completed within 2 weeks. So it is not like, you know, there were a side that was reluctant. No, I don't think so.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you were a part of the meeting here at the presidential guest house. I saw you actually there. When will the 2 weeks begin? Is it beginning today or last week or immediately that Wednesday as per the meeting?
The 2 weeks begins from the moment the two parties start talking. Mm-hmm. And you know, the date of 11th was fixed by the chief negotiator. So I don't know whether he has made sufficient consultation with both sides. But I think that is not the issue. It will be definitely resolved soon.
So do you anticipate the government team to travel as soon as possible this week, next week? What do you know so far?
I don't know anything about the delegation, but what I know is that the government is keen to see that the Tumaini process resumes as soon as possible. So I assume that the moment the delegation is formed, they will be traveling for the talks.
Mm-hmm. So there are news circulating on social media, unverified information, that names are being circulated to the president for an imminent announcement of the head of government delegation. Have you come across that?
No. No, actually, it's not one of our mandate as the high level
delegation.
High level revital. I mean, high level committee. Standing committee for the implementation of the R axis.
Mm-hmm.
This is government business, so it is up to the government to form the delegation for at whatever time they choose.
Okay, and then on Saturday, we hosted, like I said, an activist, Edmond Yakani, and he said there appears to be two competing parties within the government delegation that needs to come to a consensus. He said there are this pro-Tumaini and anti-Tumaini group within the Artigono. What is your comment on this statement?
Well, before I comment, I think people need to put the whole thing into context, because it is too easy to point fingers when people have not yet grasped what is at stake. The context is that, you know, in 2018, precisely on the 12th of September, 2018, there was an agreement that was signed, and it was called Revitalize Agreement on the Resolution of the Conflict in the Republic of South Sudan. And that one took about a year to negotiate. We started in December 2017, and as I said, it was signed 9 months later.
Yeah.
By that time, some of the parties to the talks declined to sign the agreement. They said it did not address the root causes of the problem. The rest of us, we thought that the provisions of the agreement are good enough for us to make peace. And we signed, and we came in, and we formed the government of the Transitional Government of National Unity.
Mm-hmm.
But after that, we said that it is not enough to be the only ones, you know, implementing the peace. We decided as parties to the agreement, not yet the government, because the government was not formed until February 2020. But in 2019, the parties who signed the peace agreement decided to look for those who have not signed in order to have an inclusive peace.
Yeah.
And that was the background to the Rome talks that was mediated by San Egidio.
Yeah.
It was an effort to see that the peace agreement is inclusive of all. So the Rome process went ahead. They even signed a declaration of principles.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow, in the middle, it got stalled for a number of months.
Yeah.
And then in December, we had the announcement that the president has sent a letter to President Ruto to mediate between the government and the holdout groups. And as you know, the president of Kenya took it seriously. He invited almost everybody who was in opposition.
Mm-hmm.
They responded. Some of them came. Some of them rejected. You know? And the government engaged them. So now, when the people talk of Tumaini did not come out of a vacuum. It is a continuation of the process it started in 2019 by the government.
Okay.
In order to bring on board those who did not sign the peace agreement in 2018 and those who later on also rebelled against the government afterwards.
Yeah. And
so in order for somebody to say that, you know, there is a dichotomy
yeah.
our positions in the government is not accurate.
Okay, what do you say about this also concerns that there are, people are saying that there are concerns that some of the Tumaini protocols are replications of the RRCs. Is that a valid concern?
This is true. Well, of course, as the process developed, there were some statements coming from Nairobi that the Tumaini is a standalone agreement. The Tumaini replaces all previous agreements, mm-hmm. you know, and this created concern within the government. And I think you remember that one of the parties withdrew yeah. its members in the delegation
yeah.
of the RT Gono
to
Nairobi
as
a result of what they saw as a deviation from the R-axis. So, in fact, what needs to be clarified now as we speak, because it seems that people are still talking things that are not very clear. What is the relationship of the process in Nairobi to the R-axis, which is the agreement now in place and which is the basis of legitimacy of the current government? What is the relationship?
Mm-hmm.
Because once we answer that question, then everything else will fit in.
Yeah. And actually, that's supposed to be my question. How do you think the Tumaini Peace Initiative will complement the RRCs or any other agreement?
This is the point I'm saying. Those in on the other side say, well, the Tumaini is supposed, you know, to be the last hope.
Mm-hmm.
The Tumaini is going to bring peace to South Sudan. Right, we don't want to discuss that, but how is the question. They say the Tumaini will include the unimplemented provisions of the R-axis. And then the new ideas that will come from there, and this will be what they call the Tumaini.
Mm-hmm.
Then the question is, what do you do with the rest of the provisions in R-axis? Are they cancelled? Are they no longer valid? And if they are not valid, what is the mechanism of making the change?
Mm-hmm.
Because R-axis is an agreement that has been incorporated in the Constitution. Even that, it says that if there is a conflict in provisions of the R-axis and the Constitution, the one of R-axis prevails. So for us to be able to do away with R-axis, we can only do away by amending it,
mm-hmm.
you know. We have to amend R-axis to say that this kind of agreement is no longer relevant, and now we have a new one. So there is no way you can replace provisions in R-axis without you saying clearly, is R-axis alive or dead?
Mm-hmm.
Because R-axis, when it was negotiated, it had to replace the agreement that was there before, which is R-axis. The one of 2015,
yeah,
it had to replace it and take its place. So the axis of 2015 was no longer valid. It was replaced by R axis. So are we replacing R axis with Tumaini? Let us be clear.
Mm-hmm.
If that is the intention, then it means that we'll have to follow the procedures which are in R axis in order to change it with another agreement.
And Honorable, what is your take on this notion coming from all corners that there are some signatories to the RRCs who are against the Tumaini Peace Initiative? They don't like it completely. That's why even right now, the government delegation are unable to go back to Nairobi and join the whole that group. Because for them, as we by the communication we are getting from Nairobi, and it is also confirmed that the opposition holder says we are ready to resume the negotiation where we stopped.
You see, when somebody says that there are people opposed to Tumaini, you know, the question is, what is Tumaini? What is the Tumaini for somebody to be opposed to Tumaini? This is what I told you about.
Yeah.
What is Tumaini and what is his relationship with Araxes? Is Tumaini a replacement of Araxes? If it is, definitely not only some, everybody will who is a part of Araxes will oppose it.
As a leader of NDM, what is your stand on the Tumaini?
This is what I'm talking about now. And this is what that will answer some of the questions you have mentioned before.
Yeah.
Because we judge Tumaini from the protocols that were agreed by the delegations in August, which our delegation brought here on the 30th of August. This is what we judge. That would have been the agreement called Tumaini. Okay? So we analyze that. When we analyzed those protocols, we found out that most of the provisions are copied from Araxes, are a repetition of Araxes, okay? So if they are a repetition of Araxes, then what is new? What is new? Because for us in the NDM, you ask, what the NDM thinks. For us in the NDM, we thought that the first thing that should have been addressed in the peace talks should have been the hold-out groups to explain to us what are the root causes which they thought were not addressed by Araxes, which they need to be addressed in order to join the peace process. Because some of them were with us in the talks. All right? What are those root causes? This is one. Number two, we all acknowledge that the Araxes have failed to deliver on its provisions on time as agreed by all. This is true. And because this is why people have been extending the transitional period, because we could not implement the agreement on time. So that is a weakness that appeared, but it could not have been predicted before signing that. You could not have known that this thing will be done on time or not. Now that it has happened, we expected the talks to focus on how do we address those failures. What is it that made the agreement not to be implemented on time? And how do we correct that?
Yeah.
These are the two things we thought should have been addressed by the Tumaini process. Okay?
Now, the chairperson of the opposition hold that group, who is also the leader of the Rere Spelem, Honorable Pagana Mom, says the 90 protocols that were signed initially in the Kenyan capital, Nairobi, before the talks stalled, the opposition says they are not ready to renegotiate any of those protocols. And as per the media reports, some of the concerns by members of ARTIGONU is that of the National Leadership Council, the National Implementation Oversight Commission, and other bodies. First of all, what is your reaction to this statement by the whole that group that even if the government delegation goes back tonight or tomorrow, they will not renegotiate anything they already signed there, that already was signed by the parties, including some of the government delegation who will go back?
Well, I don't know, because it depends on how we interpret the signature. We were made to understand that what happened in Nairobi was initialing. The two delegations initialed the documents that...
9 documents.
Whatever they are.
Yeah.
The documents that they have agreed. Okay? But each party is supposed to go back to its principles. So that they agree on that and it is signed finally. So initial is the first step. The signing is a prerogative of the principals, mm-hmm. the government in our case, and the leadership of the opposition on the other side. So for somebody to assume that what the delegation has agreed is final, then we don't know what is the reference. The delegation is supposed to consult with its principal before the principal gives the final authority to sign. Let me give you an example.
Yeah.
In 1972, when the Addis Ababa Agreement was negotiated, the SSLM delegation under Joseph Lago and the government delegation, they agreed on the 28th of February to initial the agreement, that this agreement is okay and fine. Then it was supposed to be ratified on the 3rd of March, 1972, by the two leaders, mm-hmm. Jafar Numeri on the side of Sudan and General Joseph Lago from the side of SSLM. Mm-hmm. So when the draft agreement was given to Joseph Lago, he said, no, he has concerns. He cannot approve it as it is. Mm-hmm. He had concerns.
Until the concerns are addressed.
Addressed. So he came back to Addis with a delegation, and then he raised his concern. And they were mainly regarding the position of the Anyanya in relation to the Southern Command. Mm-hmm. Well, because the Southern Command said there will be half from Anyanya and half from the Sudan government. You see, army. No, half South Sudanese and half northern component. So Lago said, no. If you say half South Sudanese, but there are South Sudanese who are part of the
nation.
So Lago managed to renegotiate this, and it was given to him. After that, he signed.
Okay. So does that relate to
The last word in signing any peace agreement is the principal.
Okay.
Which chose that delegation to go and negotiate on his behalf.
So with all these ups and downs, with all what is surrounding the Tumaini, what is the face of the Tumaini then? Because this is something that was initiated by the president, and he was so passionate about it. But now, one of the many concerns that has come up is even the government delegation that came back to Juba to brief the principal you are talking about have not been able to meet the president. Even the meeting between this delegation and the high-level standing committee on the implementation of the RRCs, sometimes back the meeting almost never happened. So this is some of the concerns right now are talking about. How do you address that?
Well, thank you very much.
Politician, I think, of this country.
That is a very important point. It is a very important point in the sense that, the government, the transitional government of national unity, is a coalition government. Is a government made up of initially five groups. Mm-hmm. Now there are four because one group got absorbed into the SPM.
Yeah, yeah.
So being a coalition government, they must have consensus on any issue. Because what will be the use of Tumaini if the end result is to have some of the people leaving the government and they joining? Where is the inclusivity? Because the inclusivity we want is to maintain those who are there and bring in the new people.
Mm, accommodation.
Well, not necessarily accommodation, but that they have joined the peace process together with us. All right? Now, the government delegation brought these protocols. All right? It is not true that they did not meet the principals. They came on the 30th of August. On the 31st, the president left for China. Mm-hmm. He instructed them to go and meet the first vice president and also meet the other vice presidents and brief them on the progress of the peace talks. So unless you want to say that the principal is only the president, then that's another matter. Okay? Now, when those people were met, they called a, when the president came back, he called a joint meeting between the presidency and the high-level implementation committee. The high-level implementation committee was mandated to go and look into those protocols of the proposed by the Tumaini group and then make recommendations to the leadership on how to proceed. All right. One of the things that were that was the task that was given to that high level standing committee was to meet the our delegation that went to Nairobi to negotiate in Tumaini process. And that meeting was arranged. Okay.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, there was a, you know, lack of comprehension of the mandate of each.
Okay.
What did they expect from us and what did we expect from them? I don't want to get into detail.
Okay.
But the communication did not go as expected.
Okay. So
The high-level committee went ahead. They made their study. They gave their study to the presidency. Okay? Now, I want to assure you that the first thing in that recommendation is that the government is committed to the continuation of the Tumaini talks. As you said correctly, it was the government that initiated it. So it cannot be the government to say the Tumaini process is no longer valid. So the government is committed to the Tumaini process.
Okay.
This idea of saying that there are people opposed to Tumaini and there are people who are supporting Tumaini, to me, is based on hearsay.
So it is not true that the government is divided over Tumaini.
Any government, you have different views, isn't it?
Yeah.
If you talk to me, I will have a point of view.
Yeah.
If you talk to somebody else, it has a point of view. Even us in the high-level standing committee, we could have different views. Mm-hmm. But at the end, what is agreed is the government view.
How is
so what is agreed now is the government view. If somebody else was against it,
yeah,
it is no longer valid because all the parties have agreed on a common position.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you were part of the government delegation that toured the region or the high-level implementation committee that toured the region. You were in Kenya, you were in Uganda, you went to Ethiopia. First of all, what was the main agenda of this tour, the region?
The main purpose of the tour is very simple. We wanted to go to explain to President Ruto the reality of government position, because there were a lot of misinformation. It was, as you said now, that the government refused to meet the delegation, that the government is divided. There are those supporting Tumaini and there are those who are against.
Yes.
That the extension of the transitional period was a way of undercutting
the Tumaini,
and so on. So we wanted to go, after we have agreed now as a party to the peace agreement, and now we have a common position, we wanted to explain to President Ruto the way forward for Tumaini. So we went and found out that he was informed that that agreement is final. The protocols were a final agreement. We went and find that out there. We went and found out that he thought that the extension of the transitional period was a way to undercut the peace agreement, and so on. So we have explained to him all this, that the concern of the government is the clarity.
Okay.
We want to be very clear what is the relationship between the Tumaini process and the already existing R axis.
Did the tour meet its expectation? Did you succeed in
the tour? Was a tremendous success. I heard somebody say
it has failed. Yeah.
It was a tremendous success, and that's why mm-hmm. President Ruto came.
Okay.
It came here to listen to the government on how to proceed on the Tumaini.
The question people are asking that if you are really for the government is united over the Tumaini, why didn't you include one of the members of the government delegation to Kenya, either Honorable Michael Makwe or Akol Paul or anybody from the team that has gone to Nairobi to negotiate with the holdout group? Why did you skip all of them and decide to go as the only members of the high level? Because some of them are also members of the high level implementation committee.
By the way, we're not going to negotiate.
Mm-hmm. No, but you should have
They were not there during the discussions. Mm-hmm. They were not there during the discussions on the government
which
position.
Discussion?
They were not there.
Mm-hmm.
So you can only take people who have been part of the discussion because they know the background of what has been taking place. And after all, the representation is according to the parties to the agreement. The delegation that went included SPLM, it included IO, mm-hmm. it included SOA, it included OPP, you know?
Yeah.
And it included also part of the IT Gono of that time,
yeah.
which is the national agenda.
Okay.
So it is the parties to the agreement that are in the delegation to stress the point that all of us who form the transitional government of national unity are united behind this position.
Okay.
That we are telling the president of Kenya.
Okay.
Then after that, we went to Ethiopia. Also, they are important. As you know, IGAD was the mediator of RT Gono, I mean of R-Axis.
Yeah.
And the main countries of IGAD, or what they used to call the frontline state, were four.
Okay.
It was Ethiopia, Kenya, Uganda, and Sudan. But of course, you know what is happening in Sudan.
Yeah.
And so on. So they needed also to be in picture. Because the same talk which are being spread, they also reach them.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, has more focus are now being derived towards the Tumaini Peace Initiative?
Yes.
It seems like nothing completely is being implemented, followed after the extension. As a member of the high-level implementation committee, what is going on, what is being implemented right now in the RRCs, as we speak, after the extension? We are now almost 2 months.
By the way, we need to make a realistic appraisal
mm-hmm.
of last extension and this extension. This extension was based on recommendations of the institutions that are implementing the peace agreement. The first extension, there were no institutions. They were not there. So it is not us implementing. These institutions are already involved in the implementation process.
So from what you know, yeah. what is going on now? What is being implemented?
Each institution is implementing its mandate. The National Election Commission is going ahead with its mandate. The Political Parties Council is doing what it's supposed to do. The security-related institutions are doing what they are supposed to do, and so on. So it is not a particular body like it was before.
Yeah.
That it was the politicians who were taking decision. Now, it is an institution that are mandated to implement what is required by the agreement.
Okay.
The high-level standing committee has been given a mandate to monitor and evaluate the implementation process.
Okay.
So we have the details of what each institution's will want to do month by month, and budget by budget.
Correct.
So every month we'll look at it. What did you do? What did you not do? And then accordingly, we make the necessary recommendation to the leadership to make the corrections.
Do we have a detailed matrix with the confirmed budget for the new extension?
We have detailed matrix. We have the budget divided according to the matrix, you know. Because the matrix mean you have timelines.
Mm-hmm.
And each timeline has his own budget. You know, these are the ones that add up to be the overall budget of that particular institution.
Okay.
So we have that. But, of course, to say that it is confirmed, it is the work of the Ministry of Finance to avail the money.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. If you have just joined us right now, you can call us on 091-206-7879 or 091-206-7929 or 091-206-8101. And in the studio, I have Honorable Dr. Lama Kol Ajawin, who is the leader of the National Democratic Movement, the NDM, and also a member of the High-Level Implementation Committee in the country. And we are discussing basically about the Tumaini and also the implementation of the agreement. You can call us and ask a question with these remaining few minutes. Hello, Redi Mire. Hello.
Yes, good evening, Sandy Martin.
Yes, your name?
Yeah, this is Jiang Deng in Wau.
Okay. Go ahead, Jiang.
Yeah, thank you. My greetings, the Honorable Dr. Lam.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, he have tried to touch here and there. And there is much contradiction to what he said and to what the Honorable Pagana Mum said yesterday, mm-hmm. roundtable.
Yes.
There is much contradiction and complication, and that brought me confusion. And if some listeners were listening yesterday, also, maybe they are confused. Because Pagan was saying that there will be no renegotiation. And he's saying that supposed to be there renegotiation. I'm asking him a question. In case the opposition, all out group in Kenya, refuse not to touch any protocol to be actually renegotiate, to want it to be signed like that. So what is the position of NDM as a party? That's one.
Okay.
I'm just asking you as an NDM. Another question is that, the bilateral agreement yesterday was being called by Dr. Bagana Mom that the agreement already collapsed, is a failure agreement. Because he was being questioned by the studio that these are, to my mind, should be actually not oversight, but shall come as a complementary agreement to actually incorporate to R-axis. But he was saying that no, R-axis have collapsed, is already a failure agreement, that now the Tumaini is coming as a pull force to actually implement, to actually support the Arabs, to implement, because Arabs are already first, so they are coming to bring peace. So what do you say that I want to understand, because
okay.
I need him to explain very well, because he said that although Arabs has a failed agreement, he will not, to mine is coming as a full force agreement to actually address the concern of the people of South Sudan.
Okay. Diang Deng from WOW, thank you so much. Yes, let's begin with the last question from Diang Deng. Why is the Tumaini Peace Initiative seen as the only viable way to lasting peace in the country, and yet we have an agreement being implemented in the country? These are some of the common sentiments we are hearing all the time. And people believe that Tumaini is the only savior in this case here.
First of all, I want to address what he called contradictions.
Yeah.
Because he also seems to contradict himself.
Mm-hmm.
He says that the Tumaini, the R-axis has failed, and the Tumaini is coming to complement.
No, that's what the opposition are saying, not him.
Yeah, and now, if the thing has failed, how can you complement it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that is what looks like a contradiction between what he's saying. You know, there is a lot of misconception. The Tumaini is not a negotiation to bring about peace in South Sudan,
mm-hmm.
because I think South Sudan enjoys peace already. The Tumaini process is meant to bring about inclusivity so that you have a sustained peace.
Mm-hmm.
There is difference between bringing peace and sustaining what we have.
Yeah.
Because if you have parties that are not part of the peace process, okay, they are capable of disturbing that peace at some stage. And therefore you will not have a sustainable peace.
Mm-hmm.
So what we are looking for in Tumaini is the inclusivity that will help us have a sustainable peace.
It is not that we are looking for peace. The peace is already there in South Sudan as a result of the R-axis. But because our objective is to have a sustainable peace, we need everybody to be on board the peace process.
Okay.
So that is, so anybody who thinks that it is the only way to save, you know, the peace is not being accurate.
Okay. Yeah. The question of Dieng again, part of that question you have answered is that what about if the holdout group declined to renegotiate what they have already initialed, like you said in the beginning? What is the position of NDM as a party?
Not NDM, it is the parties to the peace agreement.
Yeah.
Yeah. If they refuse, of course, that will be unfortunate because everybody knows in negotiations all over the world that delegations are not the final authority. Delegations don't sign agreements without the approval of the principals that delegated them. There is a principle in law which says a delegated authority cannot delegate authority.
Yeah.
You know? So they have been delegated to negotiate on behalf of the principal. So they will have to bring back what they had negotiated to the principal, and it is up to the principal to say this is okay or this is not okay. Now, if the principal says this is not okay, they have to take it back to the other side. Then look, you know, our side has comments on this. If they want to look at it, they discuss it. If he doesn't want to look at it, of course, who will sign? Because signature is at least the two sides. The other side will not sign without discussing the concerns.
Yeah. And we have a couple of SMS coming in here. This one is saying that has Artigon or has a member of the RRCS. Did you receive the letter that was announcing the resumption of the peace talk today, Monday, by the chief mediator? And if yes, why did the parties to the agreement fail to send their delegation to join the rest in Nairobi today? That's from TAP in Bentiu.
I think I touched on that before, that the business of forming delegations is not the work of the high-level standing committee. It is the work of the government. And I am not also sure whether the chief mediator, when he fixed that date, he has made consultation with the government. Because on Wednesday, as we have already seen, on Wednesday, the chief mediator was here when that announcement was made of relieving the chief negotiator.
Yeah.
So you definitely expect time
for more consultation.
For consultation in order to appoint a new one.
Mm-hmm.
So it takes time to have. So you have Wednesday. You only the two working days are Thursday
and Friday.
And then Monday is supposed to be the day.
Which is today.
Even if the delegation was chosen on Thursday, you know, they cannot be traveling so soon to arrive there on Sunday to be ready for the talks on Monday.
Okay.
So I think this is understandable. The delay is understandable. It is not something that was intended or it is not something to make capital out of.
Yeah.
That the government has failed to turn up and all that. It is a government which knows if they have been consulted about the day to be the 11th, then the failure to turn up will be there will be the cause for it.
Okay. Now,
if they were not, then you cannot blame them.
Okay. What do you think, in your opinion, as a politician, should be done to clear this misinformation surrounding the Tumaini Peace Initiative? There are a lot of misinformation going on. Like you said, you have to move around the region to clarify some of this.
But this is what we are doing now, even when we are talking.
What about inside here?
Even when we are talking now, we are clarifying things that are said by people who are not simple people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that Tumaini is made to look as if it is something, you know, different from what the government initiated in 2019. It was in 2019 that people started to talk to the holdout groups and other opposition parties.
Okay.
The purpose for it is to have inclusivity.
Okay.
In the implementation of the peace process.
Okay. And finally, as our time is up, in the communique, it is mentioned that IGAD should be involved in this peace initiative. How important is it to have the backing of IGAD?
Well, IGAD was the mediator for the Araxes. And IGAD, I believe it has been involved in the Rome negotiation. They were there, even in Tumaini. Now they are there.
Mm-hmm.
I think they are co-chair or something in the Tumaini. They are there, but that is a stress. It's the stress of the role of IGAD as the party that negotiated Araxes is what is being stressed. I think they have not been totally away.
Okay, and finally, there seems to be a lot of anxiety and frustration on how the parties are implementing the agreement. The implementation is at a very slow pace. The last one, which is ending next year, the roadmap, we are told it was only 10% that was implemented. What do you think the parties should do now to accelerate the implementation of the peace agreement in the next extended 2 years before elections are done in 2026?
Well, before I answer that, I want to assure the citizens that Tumaini process is on course. Let nobody say that the government is opposed to Tumaini or that the government is divided over Tumaini. We, as party to the peace agreement, have discussed. True, there were people who also opposed Tumaini from the angle that they did not understand it, or because of the statements that were coming out that Tumaini will replace Araxes and so on. But the government discussed those, and we have now a common view that will continue with the Tumaini, but certain things need to be changed for us to sign it.
Okay.
Yes.
Like
this provision you are talking about, this national...
The NIC.
NLC.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we have rejected it before, and all the parties have agreed that it is
okay.
It is very unnecessary.
All right. Thank you so much. We have run out of time, and the news is coming next. Thank you so much, Honorable Dr. Lamakola Jawin, the leader of the NDM. And the news is coming next at the top of the hour in English. My name is Annie Martin. Stay tuned.